Tonight we continue our overview of the Gospel according to Mark, and we find ourselves in Mark chapter 4. During the last three chapters of Mark's account, we were introduced to Jesus, the preacher. We were also introduced to Jesus, the healer, and last week we read about Jesus, the leader. But now, tonight, in our text, Mark introduces us to Jesus, the teacher. And so let's begin in Mark chapter 4, right there in verse 1, as we learn about Jesus and his gift to teach. Mark writes in verse 1, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea." So Mark opens this chapter with the sentence, "And again, he began to teach." This word teach, it means to impart instruction, or it means to instill doctrine into another. And so Mark is telling us here that Jesus began to present doctrine or explain and give instruction. Now, this isn't the first time that Mark has referred to the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. If you'll remember back to chapter 1 of Mark's gospel, he told us that Jesus went into the synagogue and taught the people there, and they were amazed because he didn't teach like the scribes. He taught as one having authority. And so Mark's already pointed out that Jesus was a phenomenal teacher. Then in chapter 2, Mark tells us that Jesus went out to the sea and taught the multitudes there. Now, here in Mark chapter 4, Mark tells us that Jesus taught the multitudes once again. And again, he began to teach. And now for the next 33 verses here in Mark chapter 4, Mark draws our attention to this teaching ministry of Jesus. And the first thing that Mark points out was the interesting teaching ministry, or the interesting teaching style that Jesus had. Look at Mark 4, beginning there in verse 2. Mark writes, "Then he taught them many things by parables." Here we learn that Jesus taught the multitudes using parables. Now, it helps to understand that a parable is an object lesson by which a doctrine or a precept is illustrated. In other words, a parable, well, it's an illustration that's used to take a difficult doctrine and make it simple to understand. Mark also tells us in verse 2 that Jesus taught them many things by parables. As a matter of fact, if we count up all the parables that we find in the synoptic gospels, that being Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find 40 different parables. Jesus taught many things using parables. And here in chapter 4 of Mark's gospel, the first parable that Mark records is the parable of the sower and the seed. So let's pick right up there in Mark 4, beginning in verse 2. Mark writes, "Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, to really grasp what Jesus was teaching here, we must go back to our preschool years. Our preschool years, when we all learned about planting seeds, and our teacher gave us that little seed, and we put it in the napkin with the water, and a little sprout came out, and then we put it into a little cup that had some soil in it, and we watched as it came up out of the soil there. But then, chances are, for most of us, that's the last time we've ever touched a seed. Here in our day and age, you see, most of us, we just drive down to the store and buy the produce that someone else planted. But But that wasn't the case during the first century. The process of sowing seed with the goal of producing a crop, it was common knowledge there in the first century. Jesus was using a familiar process to illustrate an important lesson. It's a lesson that the disciples, well, they desired to better understand. So at some point, after Jesus taught the multitudes, when he was gathered together with his disciples, they asked him about this parable. They wanted to better understand what Jesus was talking about. And so look at Mark 4, beginning there in verse 10. It says that when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parable, so that seeing they may not see, they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." At this point, Jesus was probably sitting around with his disciples. There were the 12 apostles there. Then there was the unnumbered group of disciples. Chances are there's probably about 70 some odd men there. And they were asking Jesus, "Hey, can you explain what you were talking about when you taught about the sower and the seed?" And Jesus responded. He responded by referring to two groups of people, the two groups that were following him around. Check out verse 11 again, where he references the first group. There in Mark 4:11, he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." And so there's this first group that Jesus pointed to, the group that was sitting around him at that point in time. And he said, "To you," to this first group that's gathered around Jesus, seeking to understand more about his teachings. Then at the end of verse 11, Jesus referred to the second group when he said, "But to those who are outside, all things come in parables." Now, as I read these words, I can't help but to put this into a mental picture. I imagine Jesus sitting there, maybe at Peter's home, maybe in the courtyard, as these 70 guys are gathered around him, hinged on every word, just saying, "Jesus, tell us what you meant. We want to understand what you were talking about." Meanwhile, outside of the house, the multitudes who were following him around, well, they were off, I don't know, in the bars, at the brothels, maybe just kind of waiting for Jesus to come back outside and do a little parlor trick for him. They were just outside, just, you know, waiting for the show to start again. They weren't interested in what Jesus was teaching. The first group is saying, "Oh man, we want to understand the sower and the seed." The second group, they're saying, "I don't know about this whole sower and seed thing. I wish he'd come back out and do a couple more tricks, though. We're really enjoying the show. Entertain us, Jesus." You see, those people who were outside, not in that circle of men who were saying, "Teach us, Jesus." They had ears to hear outside, but they weren't listening. They had eyes who, they could see the miracles, but they failed to see the messianic implications because they weren't looking with spiritual eyes. They weren't listening with spiritual ears. They were just being entertained. On the other hand, those who desired to understand the teachings of Christ, they came and listened as he explained. Understand, Christian, that is the difference between those who can hear and understand and those who are outside. The difference, those who are inside and learning, are those who want to know. Those who desire to know. Those who come with spiritual ears to listen. Those who come with spiritual eyes to see. These are the you of the people that Jesus said, "I'll explain this to you." Let's be that group. Let's be in the group of you, the you who sit at the feet of Jesus saying, "Teach me, Jesus. Show me something. Explain it to me. I want to know." For those, Jesus comes along and says, "To you, I will explain it." Well, in Mark 4:13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, and those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So here in this parable, as Jesus explains it to his disciples, he references those four different types of ground. There was the hard ground of the beaten path that couldn't receive the word, the seed that was being sown. There was the stony ground, and then the ground that was filled with thorns, and then there was the good ground. Jesus points out that the seed that's being sown is the word of God, therefore the ground must be our hearts. Now, more often than not, teachers take this parable and they attribute it to evangelism and salvation. I agree. I believe that this is a reference to salvation and those who might or may not receive the word of God. But I think that there is more depth to it than just that, because I'd like to consider this parable from another angle. Because even Christians who are saved by faith, Christians who have received the grace of God, can end up with a hard heart. We can end up with the stony heart or even the thorny heart. That's right, I've met Christians. I've met Christians who, well, they come to church. They even sit through the studies, but they do so with a hard heart. And though the word is being taught, and though they have ears that are receiving the words, they just sit there. And all they can think about during the study is how mad they are at their spouse. How mad they are at their boss. How the person across the auditorium really did them wrong, and they're figuring out a way to get back at them or to give them those glances across the auditorium so they know that I'm mad at them. And that's all they're doing in the midst of the study. With a hard heart, they're missing everything that is being taught. You might even be here right now with a hard heart and you're missing everything that I'm saying because you're too busy holding a grudge. You're too busy being unforgiving towards someone else. The word of God is coming and it's hitting hard soil. And the enemy comes along and just devours it before it might even take root in your heart. For this, we need to repent and learn how to become forgiving Christians. It's also possible that your heart is more like the stony ground or even the thorny ground, where the word comes and you hear it and it takes a little root. It sinks down a little bit. You get excited. You hear the word being taught. You hear God calling you to a closer walk, and you actually even leave the church ready to make some changes. You're ready to stop doing certain things that you know you ought not do. You're ready to start doing things that God's been calling you to do. And so you're excited. But then the cares of the world creep in, or the deceitfulness of the riches take control, or the desires for other things begin to choke out the seed of the word. The persecution comes and reminds you that you don't have the strength or the power to take that walk. And then those new convictions that you had or that you heard while you're at the study, they're gone. They shrivel up and die in your heart. Oh, I believe that Jesus is calling us to become the kind of Christian who has a soft heart, who the soil of their mind is just ready to receive the seed of the word, so that fruit can come from our lives. I believe that Jesus would have us be those Christians who by faith in Christ would accept the word and receive what it says, even when it challenges us and convicts us. And that our lives would begin to bear that spiritual fruit as a result. Well, after explaining the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus followed up with a little quiz, a little pop quiz here. I don't know if they were ready. They got out pen and paper, but here it goes. Mark 4:21, and he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And so Jesus begins with this question, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? And the answer, oh no, I'm going to let it shine. You see, a lamp is used to bring light into darkness. So Jesus is basically saying this, look, now that you have understanding of what the role of the Word is in your life, now that you have understanding, now that you've heard my teaching on the importance of accepting the Word, receiving it, and allowing it to become fruitful in your life, now it's your job to hear with spiritual ears, not only that, but also reveal this light to other people. It's not only your job to just continue to receive it, but now also reveal it. Reveal it to others. You see, as the light of truth begins to shine in our hearts, it becomes our responsibility to then be a light to the world around us. And so Jesus was telling his disciples, don't hide the light of revelation that you're now receiving. Don't hide it away. And there's a warning that goes along with this. Because to those who hide that light away, Jesus warns in verse 24, he says to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Jesus here was warning them, take heed to what you hear. In other words, Jesus was saying, make sure that you pay attention to my directions. And as I've revealed the truth of the sower and the seed, as I've revealed what the spiritual lesson is in the parable, make sure that since you've seen it, and now that you've heard it, that you live accordingly. Because there's a comparative measurement that's applied to our willingness to reveal the truth of God's Word. Here's how Jesus put it. Look at Mark 4:24 again. In the second half of the verse, he says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Several times throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus referring to a comparative measurement. For example, in Matthew 7, Jesus taught that we would be judged with the same judgment that we use on others. There's a comparative measurement there. With the judgment that we apply to others, we're going to be judged with the same measurement. In Luke 6, Jesus taught that there's a measurement that we use to give, and the measurement that we use to give will be the measurement that's used when we are on the receiving end. In similar fashion, here in Mark 4, Jesus was teaching that there's a comparative measurement when it comes to the light of revelation. Think about it like this. The time that you spend studying the Word of God will be equal to the amount of biblical knowledge you have. Very logical. The amount of time that you spend studying God's Word, the amount of time that you spend in prayer, the amount of time that you spend in the presence of God, the amount of time that you come before Jesus and say, here I am, I'm at your feet, teach me something, that will be equal to the amount of revelation you have. The time you commit to shining the light of God's Word in the world around us will be equivalent to the brightness of our spiritual light. But listen, the opposite is also true. Look at Mark 4:24 again. He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Listen, if you don't spend time reading God's Word, if you don't spend time sharing your faith, being a light in this dark world, then you're going to begin to forget information that you once knew. Maybe you received some information. Maybe you understood certain biblical truths, or maybe you understood how to reach certain people, and you no longer go out and share your faith. You no longer spend time studying God's Word. Well, that information, it's going to go away. You know, I've had many people come to me who follow me around on First Thursday as I share my faith. Christians who may even be a believer longer than I've been. And they just say, wow, how do you know so much? How do you have so much information? How is it that you can just answer these questions and I just, you know, I don't understand how you know so much? And I just say, well, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy. And no, but seriously, I don't really forget what I've learned because I continue to put it into practice. I've learned something, I've applied it to my evangelism, and I continue to evangelize. It's kind of like, you know, if you would have seen me, you know, probably about 20 years ago, I was a pretty, you know, cut individual. You know, I had some beef on me, and I quit working out. You know, I became a Christian, and next thing you know, I joined Calvary Chapel, and you know, we sit and read the Bible and eat. And so what I had, I've lost. You know, I'm no longer as cut as I once was. And so, listen, if you don't use it, you will lose it. The same thing is true for the biblical information that we have. If you hear it and you receive it, turn around and reveal it. Because if you don't, you'll eventually lose it. Let's commit then. As Christians here this evening, let's commit that we'll become the kind of Christian who's going to spend time in God's Word, reading God's Word, hearing what it says, receiving it, and accepting it with a soft heart, and take heed to the teachings of Jesus. And then we'll turn around and share this information with the people around us, here in the church and outside, letting our light shine in this dark world. And then God gives us more. God gives us more. You see, as we release what God has given us to others, He says, oh, let me give you some more then. You're going to do something with this. I'm going to commit my time to giving you more. As we will commit ourselves to practicing what Jesus is teaching here, then we're naturally going to bear spiritual fruit. Check out how Jesus put it here in our text. In Mark 4:26, he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because harvest has come. Now, chances are, you're looking at your life right now. We're typically more, you know, we're oftentimes more hard on ourselves than the people around us. We can see the struggles that we have in our minds that might not be revealed to the people around us. And so, we're sitting here wondering, man, when is God going to change my life? Because I'm more depraved than I ever was in my mind. And you know what? I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with lust, and I'm struggling with pride, and I'm struggling with greed, and I'm struggling with anger. And when is God going to fix me? When is God going to change my life? And so you set out to promise God that you're going to stop doing this, and you're going to start doing that, and you're trying to overcome these sins, but then you constantly slip right back into the same old habits. And then the enemy would come along and lie to us and try to convince us that we're never going to change, we're always going to be stuck like this, might as well give up. But listen, here in these verses, Jesus gives us hope because he's revealing the secret of spiritual success. You want to know the secret? The secret of spiritual success? Listen, when we will spend our time scattering the seed of God's Word onto the soft soil of our hearts. When we choose to receive the Word of God with a soft and teachable spirit, then God's Word begins to take root in our hearts. It begins to sprout in our lives, and God's Word begins to change the very desires of our hearts. Listen, I didn't stop drinking and doing drugs because I decided, well, it's really time for to change a new leaf here. I'm going to turn a new leaf over, and I'm just going to stop doing these drugs. I'm going to stop drinking this alcohol. I'm going to stop going down to 6th Street and partying every night of the week. I'm just going to, you know, I've changed my mind about the direction of my life, and I'm just going to really clean up my act here. Nope, didn't happen. Didn't happen. One day, someone came to me and helped me to see that the Bible is the Word of God. And at that point in time, I decided, you know what? If this is indeed God's Word, then it has the truth between the covers. And if I will open up this book and begin to read the truth, then I'll know what the truth is. And if I know what the truth is, then I no longer have to be deceived by any lie. And so I got into God's Word, and I began to read it, and I began to listen to it. And next thing you know, I just didn't have a desire to go down to 6th Street and get drunk. I no longer had the desire to get high. And then a little time went by, and I kept reading. And next thing you know, I didn't have a desire to continue to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And I kept reading, and all of a sudden my desires just changed. It wasn't me getting out the whip and just forcing myself to change my life. God's Word came in, and I had a soft heart, and He just started changing me from the inside out. And you're probably thinking, he's got a long ways to go too. And you're right, He does. That's why I continue to read God's Word. I'm going to continue to read God's Word because I know that there's so much more that He wants to do in my life. My life wasn't changed because I set out to change it. My life wasn't changed because I decided that I was going to turn over a new leaf. I simply sowed the seed of God's Word into my heart. And God came and changed my life. Now, as a result, the fruit of my life, I have to tell you, it's more magnificent than I would have ever imagined. Because when I first got saved, I thought, well, you know, I can help out with the worship team. And, you know, I had done sound work and I had done roadie work. And I just decided, you know, the only thing that I can really help out with this church is to just go roll cables on the stage after we're done. We at Calvary North Austin would set up the band every week, and then we'd tear them back down because we were in a loner church. And so every Sunday I'd go and I'd help set up and I'd help tear down. I just thought, well, this is what I'll do. This is how I'll serve God for the rest of my life. And I just continued to sow the seed of God's Word into my heart. And the next thing you know, I had a desire to teach junior high kids. And someone even told me, you can't talk to our junior high kids. You should stay far away from most people at this church, you know. No, but seriously, I just, you know, I really didn't know what to tell them, or I just knew that I had a heart to speak to the youth there. And I talked to Derek Kinney, who was overseeing the youth group there at Calvary Austin, and he said, well, come on board, you know, just come hang out and watch what I do and see how I minister to the kids and let's see what God does. And the next thing you knew, I was teaching junior high. And from there, I thought, well, this is it. This is where I'm at. You know, I'll serve God by teaching junior high. And then God took me from there, and I continued to sow God's Word in my heart. And next thing you knew, I was teaching the college ministry. And then years later, I was heading up the discipleship ministry. I was discipling the leaders of the church. And then a few years later, God took me to pastor Calvary South Austin. Where is He taking me from here? I'm fine. I'm good. I was good rolling cables on the stage, and now I'm good with what I'm doing now. I just want to serve God. That's it. Because God is the one who has come in with His Word and has changed my entire life. But now I look at the fruit of it, and I look and people email me and say, oh, that Bible study changed my life. Praise God. Someone comes up to me after service, oh, I was about to give up, but that word that you gave just spoke right to me, you know. I just think that's magnificent. I'm looking at the way that God has brought from my life all this wonderful things. And I was the guy when I was a kid that 4 out of 5 mothers agreed that their kids shouldn't hang out with me, you know. I was the bad influence. And now God has brought forth fruit from my life, spiritual fruit. And I just have to say, I've been sleeping the whole time. I woke up and wow, there's fruit coming up here. It's because of the way that God's word is sown into the heart of the person who's ready to receive it, who's willing to turn around and reveal it, and to just continue in that process of spiritual success. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about here in Mark 4:30. Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." Again, this seed that Jesus was talking about is the word of God. And at this point, this illustration ought to be very clear. You see, when the seed of God, when the seed of God's word takes root in good soil, the fruit that's produced ends up bringing rest and shade into the lives of others. It's unfortunate that so many Christians don't have the faith to grasp this principle of spiritual success. Christians who constantly question how they can overcome sin in their life, and yet they never seem to spiritually grow at all. The reason why? They don't understand how a small little daily devotion in the beginning of their day can completely change their entire life. Christian, don't despise that small little time that you might spend in the morning in God's Word. A daily devotion in God's Word might seem small and insignificant, but then again, so does a mustard seed. But when planted in the right soil, a mustard seed will grow to become one of the largest herb-bearing trees on the planet. Birds will come and take rest in its branches and receive shade from its leaves. Don't fail to understand the importance of taking the time to daily sow the seed of God's word into your heart, because that will result in fruit, not only in your lives, but fruit that will impact the lives of the people around you, as your spiritual fruit results in rest and shade for the people around you. Well, this is the last parable that's presented by Mark, though it's not the last parable that Jesus taught. But Mark even acknowledged here that Jesus taught many more, and we'll study more parables as we go through this book. But for this chapter, this is the last one, and here's how Mark closes off this section of Scripture. Look at Mark 4:33. "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciple." Well, next week we'll conclude the final verses of Mark chapter 4, because I believe they fit better together with chapter 5. But I don't want to fail to really get the last little bit of information out of this final section on the parables of Christ here in Mark chapter 4. Because for one thing, Jesus was speaking in parables to those who were outside, but he didn't give them more than they could bear to hear. Jesus wasn't using the parables to confuse people. He was speaking in parables to try to pull them in, to draw them in, to seek him out so that he could explain it in more depth. But when he was alone with those who wanted to hear, when he was alone with those who really wanted to receive the information, look at the end of verse 34. "And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." I love this teaching heart of Jesus, because Jesus is not a savior who wants to keep his disciples in the dark. You know anybody like that? They think that information is power. And so in order to have power over you, they say things like, "I know something you don't know." You know those people who, "Oh, you know what? Oh, never mind. I just heard something the other day. It's going to blow your mind. Never mind. You wouldn't understand." information, it's power. And if I have information over you, then... No, that's not Jesus. Jesus is saying, hey, just come hang out with me. I'll tell you. I'll explain everything to you. He's a Savior who wants us to know Him. But what it takes is us choosing to get alone with Him. We need to make the choice to get alone with Jesus and allow Him to explain everything to us. Listen, if you have a hard time understanding God's Word, if you read it and you're just like, I just don't get it. Well, how about not taking the time in between ironing your clothes and curling your hair, and in between the bathroom to the bedroom, you just kind of flip open a verse real quick. No, didn't understand that. And you put your Bible down and, gee, the Word of God sure is hard to understand. How about sitting down, actually dedicating a little time to just sitting there and praying and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm getting alone with you. Well, the kids are up in my face, and they just, you know, nonstop. Teach them to do the same. Teach them to get alone with Jesus. This is your time, son. This is your time, daughter. You go pray and read this children's Bible. Or do the devotion with them. Listen, you can learn something out of a children's Bible story. You better believe it. Sit down and do devotions with them. Sit down and spend some time alone with Jesus Christ and ask Him, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? Don't think for one second that He won't show up and that He won't teach you the lessons that He wants to teach you. It just takes our willingness to take the time to sow the seed and then to receive it with a soft heart. And when we're that kind of Christian, Jesus shows up and He teaches us and He changes our lives, all for His glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your Word and how You instruct us, how You challenge us, and how You change us. I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would learn the importance of spending the time to sow the seed of Your Word into our lives. And with soft, pliable hearts, that we would receive every challenge, every conviction, every new direction, and that we would walk by faith and be amazed as You bring forth spiritual fruit into our lives. We thank You in advance for how You're going to do all these things for Your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.